To God be the glory for all of it, and to God be the glory for these answered prayers. I don't take that lightly. I'm telling you, I'm stirred in my spirit right now because I don't take that lightly. God is awesome. God is awesome. We are nothing without Him. And we fool ourselves to think that we are. None of us are doing God a favor because we're here today. Hello. We're not doing God any favor. But we are here to be in the presence of Almighty God. And when you leave here, carry Him with you. You got trouble at home, carry Him with you. You got things going on at work, carry Him with you. You got things going on at school, young people, carry Him with you. Because God is greater than all of our problems and all of our cares. Carry Him with you. It's important for us as Christians, and I mentioned this last Sunday, that we leave a legacy. And I want to ask you, what's your legacy? We often think that because of who we are and things maybe we've been through in our past, that God can't use me. You know who God... Have you ever read about the 12 disciples? Good Lord. God will use you if you're willing to surrender to Him. And I want to encourage you, stay surrendered to Him. So let's go in prayer before we get started. God, today I pray You strengthen us as believers by the testimonies of Your power and Your awesomeness. I thank You for what You've done in my brother Donnie, and God, I give You praise for that. I ask You now to move in Mr. Cowboy's life, and there's many in this building that have needs. A young lady come to me a while ago, Lord, that her friend has lost her dad, and I just pray You surround that entire family for Your kingdom. And I pray You just bless them and strengthen them with the memory of her dad, and I just pray You be with them, God. And Lord, I ask You most of all today, birth Your word in our heart, that we leave here challenged to be the people we need to be for Your kingdom's sake. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, if we're part of Your kingdom, You intend to use us as kingdom people. And I pray that today, that every person leave here challenged to be used for Your kingdom. In the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So I want to challenge you again as we start this morning about being a legacy. What is your legacy? What you going to leave behind? We often think, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. Just one. And the title of the message today is Everyone Reaching One. If every one of us walk in God's authority, His joy, His peace, His principles, His morals, our life is a witness to a lost and dying world. Because you carry hope. Amen? We carry hope. I want to share a story with you. And I'm going to beat around the bush a little bit this morning. In fact, we may go 600 miles through this story, but I'm buying the gas. Y'all ride with me. Okay? So here we go. Desmond Doss was born in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, February 7th, 1919. His father had fought in World War I and suffered with PTSD, creating a pattern of alcohol and family abuse in his life. One night in a drunken rage, Desmond's dad pulled a gun on his family and on his mom and was going to take her life, and Desmond took the handgun from his daddy and held it in his face, and quivering and shaking, decided not to do it, and his daddy screaming at him, "Shoot me, shoot me." Misery. The point of this is a lot of people live in that kind of rage today. The violence over the years and the love that Desmond had for God caused Desmond to hate violence and killing completely. Yet in April of 1942, at 23 years old, Desmond Doss volunteered to serve in the United States Army as an Army medic. He had told his commanding officers or his recruiters when he signed up that all he wanted to do was save life. He didn't want to take life. He wanted to save life. Now, I'm going to tell you from experience, a recruiter will tell you what you want to hear to get you to go ahead and sign that paper. And they had convinced Desmond that he wouldn't have to carry a gun, and he told them, I won't carry a gun because a weapon, that is not my objective. My objective is to save life. With this thought in his heart, while everyone else is taking life, I'll be saving it. As a conscientious objector, he refused to kill or to carry a weapon. Through his basic training, he was hated by his fellow soldiers, ridiculed by his commanding officers because he refused to fire the weapon and even qualify, to the point that he was being court-martialed for his belief and his conviction. And he would have been court-martialed and sent to prison, a military prison, had it not been for God in intervening in his life. He and his company commander were later shipped to Okinawa, Japan. And he and his company scaled a cargo net of 500 feet to the plateau nicknamed Hacksaw Ridge. And if you ain't seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, I challenge you, go watch it. It's a true story. It's not just a movie. Dawson enlisted with one mission in mind, to save lives. The plateau was covered with dead and maimed bodies and wounded bodies from all the fighting. From the moment of intense fighting, as a counterattack ensued, the commanding officer told his soldiers, fall back. With his fellow soldiers in full retreat, Desmond Doss stayed behind, asking God to show him what to do. Hearing the cries of wounded American soldiers, he began his mission of saving lives. One by one, he gave them the medical attention that he was able to do, and then drag them to the edge of the cliff and lower them down 500 feet by himself with a rope. He lowered each one of them to safety and further medical attention. With each one, he would pray. As he got one to the bottom of the mountain, he prayed, just one more, Lord, just one more. As he got more to the cliff of the mountain, he would even tell the Lord, he said, I'll risk it all for one more. Even if I die, Lord, help me get one more. The number of soldiers Desmond Doss saved in those initial 12 hours is estimated to be anywhere from 75 to 100. He had no idea how many lives he would save in the end. He just knew that one more would be worth it all. I read a book by Dr. Billy Wilson that I used to work with. He is now the president of Oral Roberts University, and he put this in his book. It's called The Power of One, and I want to encourage you, if you hadn't read it, go get this book, Amazon, The Power of One. C.S. Lewis wrote, Jesus died not for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only man, he would have done no less than died for you. Now turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Ephesians 4. at him, and the man was wounded, and he was trying to turn and hurt Desmond Doss, and Desmond goes, shh, because he was surrounded by enemy. And he turns and tells the boy, shh, and he takes morphine out, and he says, just, and he gave him a shot of morphine and dressed his wound to save his life. God's got a purpose for every one of us. It don't mean because we've been through the things that is so harmful to us, it don't mean that all of that stuff makes me an unworthy candidate to be used for God's glory. That's why he put a pastor like me that has a past in your life to teach you that no matter what your past is, Jesus wants to use you. I wasn't raised on a church pew. I went to church on special occasion, Christmas, Easter, and church homecomings. Now, I remember my granny used to take me to them church homecomings, and I'd lay up on, she was, grannies are the smartest women on God's green earth. They are. My granny knew they was going to bring back a preacher what ain't preached in 15 years, and she knew he was going to preach all day long. I'm not going to do that. Just half of it. And then my granny would take me a pillow and a blanket and make me a pallet up under that church pew for me to lay there and take a nap. I was a little boy. I done slept all night long. Sleeping was not on my agenda. I was ready to bounce off of the walls for a little while. And I remember laying up under that church pew chewing gum. I'd reach up under there and scratch me off a piece of dentine. I'd get tired of chewing on that. I'd stick it back and peel me off some juicy fruit. Hey, it was all good once you got it softened up. And what y'all thinking? Oh, that's nasty. Who do you think put it there? Christians did. You don't think the devil snuck in there and stuck chewing gum up under the pew? Christians put it there. So I knew it was good gum. But some of it been there so long you couldn't get it softened up. Everything you've been through, God intends to use it in your life. Everything you've been through. That's what a new direction is about that Paul wrote to us in Corinthians. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. It is so important that we understand this right here in verse 12. And he gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? What? Everybody raise your hand. Everybody. Now everybody look around. That's the body of Christ you're looking at. And when you may be here today and you may be going through things in your family and you may be hurting, don't hide it. Open up to Jesus and reach out to your family and tell somebody you need prayer. And when somebody asks you to pray for something special in their life, if it's something that is, don't let it be juicy gossip. Hello. Don't let it be juicy gossip. Let it be something to cause you to go to prayer. This is what Donnie told me earlier a while ago. He said his knees, he couldn't even get on his knees. And he said he's been getting up every morning. He said, because we get older, we can't get on our knees no more. They hurt. He said, I get on my knees in the morning, I get on my knees in the evening, and my knees don't even hurt no more. When we begin to honor God, God begins to make a way where there seems to be no way. And we got to get that. We've got to get that because God intends to use you as one when you leave here today. And that's what I'm wanting to challenge you with. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're supposed to walk in unity, and then there's unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Why? Because it's growing to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we're not representing ourselves, we're representing the one that saved us. Your life, in other words, begins to be not about you, but about the one that saved you. Less about me. John wrote, I must decrease, but he must increase. Verse 14 says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, by deceitful plotting, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into Him who is the head, Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, Paul wrote this: "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." What's happened in Donnie's life? Just think about it for a minute. What's happened in his physical body? Pulling down strongholds. What's going on in our culture today? It's a war against our children. The greatest war ever launched on American soil is the war we're going through today on our children. And I don't mean the little kids alone. I mean from generation, the millennials to Generation Z. There is an all-out attack, and if the church continues to do nothing, we will not reach this generation. That's why your testimony and who you are and what Jesus has done in your life is so important and critical in this hour. It's as bad as being on the plateau of Okinawa, Japan, and seeing the maimed and the wounded because of what cancel culture and woke agendas is shoving on our children. It is time that the church wake up, get up, and walk into this battle, even though we may have bloody hands from trying to save them. We need to get busy, because everybody in the culture of the church today says it's the pastor's job. No, my job is to equip you. To equip you for the work of the ministry. And I want to teach you right now. You may say, "I'm not worthy." You know what? I ain't either. But I'm forgiven. And that's what you got to know. And when you've been forgiven, you need to share that forgiveness. That's all it is, guys. Knowing you've been forgiven. To whom much is given, much is required. So what's God requiring of you? You'll never know what God's requiring of you till you realize you're forgiven and you walk in that forgiveness. And one reason that we can't walk and experience the forgiveness of God is because we're not willing to forgive others. Are y'all with me? When you can't forgive others, you can't be forgiven. That's Bible. If we're not willing to forgive people that have wronged us, people that have done things that hurt us, and we can't forgive that, we can't be forgiven. We can't experience the forgiveness of God. And it's not that God chose not to forgive you. It's that you're blocking the forgiveness of God with your unforgiveness. I want you to get that. God is not far from you. God is not retreated from you. But we can allow things in our life that puts us in a full-scale retreat away from the presence of God, and we can't save nobody. God don't need us. Let me just go ahead and tell you. He don't need any of us. But I love what Isaiah said. "Here am I. Send me. I'm one, but send me. I will go." And I want to birth that in your heart today. I pray that the Spirit of God birth that in your heart today. Because He says this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." That sounds like our political leaders today. But when the church sets by the only solid foundation there is, according to biblical truth, is Jesus. All other ground is sinking sand. And while the culture and the world is sinking, the people of God should be rising up. Hello. We should be rising up. We should be shining brighter than we ever have before. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, that's one thing we have forgotten as a Christian, is to walk in that obedience and live out an obedient life. And look at verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled, you punish disobedience. Because you're pulling down the strongholds of a lie in somebody's life that they're not worthy. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. I've done too much. I've done too much of this. I've done too much of that. I live this way. I've done that away. It don't matter what you've done. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He is an awesome God, and He loves you. I want to share this one with you out of Joshua, chapter 23. And before I share that with you, I want to read this to you. Joshua had commanded to love, had commanded to love God, means consistent devotion to Him, developing a relationship with Him, and being obedient, and guarding against corruption. That's what this passage means. And here we go in verse 6. Therefore, be very generous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from the right hand or to the left. Boy, the right and left, that kind of rings a bell, don't it? And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. When we do nothing, we're bowing down to their corruption. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to the Word of God? When we do nothing, we're bowing. But you shall hold fast. What did Desmond Doss do on that plateau? He held fast. He made it to the cargo net. He had every option to get down that net. And I'm telling you, the barrage of fire that they were under is enough to make any man run. Because there was no way to survive what was going on that hill. And the bodies that were laying there proved there was no way to survive it. They couldn't even make, this had been a month-long battle. And there's dead bodies everywhere. I don't know how many was killed in Okinawa at the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of men died on that hill. If you ain't seen Hacksaw Ridge, you go get it and watch it today. He said in verse 8 again, he said, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. Everything that we face that we think, man, America's just doomed. No, we are not. People that live in America may be doomed. People that hate America may be doomed. But let's think about how this nation was created and what God intended for it to stand for by founding forefathers. Who done what? Shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain and founded the United States of America and wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. Because they stood on the only foundation there was, and that's the Word of God. He said, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. Not even cancer, Donnie, can stand against the power of Almighty God against you. Not even death can stand against you, Donald. And we thought, Donald, for a while, it looked grim. For Cowboy, things may look grim. There's been others. I mean, there's been lots of answered prayers in this church. But it's time for this church to recognize the answered prayers and the foundation that God has given you to stand on and walk out of here and make a difference. Walk out of here and share that. What testimony do I have that you've been in a house where God, you saw the witness of God healing Donnie? You've seen it. If you come up here and prayed for that, you were part of it. Now go share the testimony of the awesomeness of God. He said in verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. What does that mean? I want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to get there in a minute. I said I'm going to drive 600 miles, but I'm buying the gas. One man of you shall chase 1,000. I can't do nothing. If one, I love God's math. One will chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you. And he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves. Here is our mandate, biblical mandate as a Christian. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. And to love him is to manifest him to mankind, to speak of his goodness to mankind, to shine the light of God to mankind so that people can know, and especially this generation and this generation of young people can know that the power of God is real. And if it ain't real to you, we'll never convince this generation that the power of God is real. How many people know Billy Graham? How many know Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher's name? Anybody? Yet it was Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher that led him to Jesus. He's not mentioned. I don't know his name either. Me and Aaron was talking about that this week. I don't know that man's name either. But had it not been for Billy Graham, you want to see how one puts 1,000 to flight? Look at the life of Billy Graham. I want to tell you my life. Just a brief deal. When I was rodeoing and rodeoing for my living and going hard, I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't intending to be a pastor. I wasn't looking to be a pastor. But I'd met this young man in the nation of Myanmar. And I had really gotten a burden for him. God gave me a burden for him. And I prayed, and my wife watched me pray. And she watched me go to my barn faithfully and pray and pray and pray and pray for Messiah. We'd been talking to him for 3 years. And my wife came to me for Christmas that year. And she brought me 2 plane tickets to the nation of Myanmar to go see this young man. And every Christian that I shared my story with about going to Myanmar, they looked at me like I was nuts and told me I had a lot of doubting Thomases. I had never had one positive remark made to me by Christians. They said, the gospel can't be preached in that nation. I said, I know that. What you gonna do when you get, what if they put you in jail? I said, well, I guess I'll be in jail. Well, what you going to do if you get over there and they kill you? I said, I guess they'll kill me. And then one of them called me back on the phone and he said, brother, what if you get over there? What group is sending you over there? I said, there is no group. You have no support? I said, yeah, I got support. What support do you have? From a pastor. I said, I got God's support. He said, Frankie, you need to think about what you're doing. Today. 8 or 9 years ago. Today, there's 9 house churches in the nation of Myanmar. 17 children in an orphanage that we just finished building. Come on, it's to God be the glory. If one put 1,000 to flight, one put 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Deuteronomy makes mention of this. And I'm telling you guys, what God wants to do is use his people to reach a generation and reach a nation. And that nation needing reach today is America. It is America. We need to bring back the gospel of hope and the gospel of truth and the gospel of peace. November 17th, I'm going to give you this right here and we're going to close. November 15th, 2022, the United Nations reported the world population to be 8 billion. Even, what does 8 billion even look like? Here's what 8 billion looks like. Y'all ready for this? If you were 8 billion seconds old, you'd be 254 years old. If 8 billion people were to hold hands, they'd wrap around the earth 335 times. If you were to stack 8 billion pennies together, you would make a tower 6,960 miles high. For an individual to count to 8 billion would literally take a lifetime, possibly 100 years, depending on how fast you counted. I'd have to start over too many times. I'd be dead before I ever got there. And out of 8 billion people, yet only 30% of the 8 billion identify as Christians, followers of Jesus. It leaves this question, and I'm going to ask Kit and my brother Jared to come on. It leaves this question: how will we reach so many? The job is so enormous to reach 8 billion people. How are we going to do it? You know how we're going to do it? One at a time. As on any given Sunday, there's over 300 most of the time attending this church. And I'm going to give you this challenge, and I want to see where we are in 3 months. In 3 months, I want to see 600 in this house because you chose to reach one and bring them with you. Is that a good challenge? Come on. And it's not about a number in here. It's about the souls. It's about people needing hope. You don't think there's 300 more people in the city of Athens and in your life and in your family and in your friend circle that need some hope? If you're a Christian and you're born again, you have that hope. You have it. Take it to them. It leaves this question: how do we reach so many? Misai is our church leader over in Myanmar. We got 17 kids in the orphanage. We just built a building over there. I'm going to be showing y'all pictures of that here in the not too distant future. Fathers in the Field is a ministry this church is doing by men taking a fatherless child under their arm and saying, I want to make a difference in this young man's life for the glory of Almighty God. Trusting is my field, buddy. And we're seeing great things happen in that young man's life. Jackson with Dave Franco. Braden Raymond. Mr. Raymond's got Braden. And if you're a man in this building and you go, man, I don't know what to do, let me tell you something. I'll come alongside you as a pastor and as a part of Fathers in the Field. And if you want to take a kid under your arm, I want to challenge you to do that. You're not his disciplinarian. You're not here teaching him all this and that. You're teaching him to be a man of God. Can you do that? If you're interested in that, see me after church. I want to see God use you and make a difference. So that's your challenge for today. You can reach one and bring them to church with you. And if we do that in 3 months, we can be 600 to 700 plus strong. And if we do that in another 3 months, we'd be 1,200 to 1,400. Are y'all getting the math? If one chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. Do you see God's math? Do you see how strong we can begin to be as a people of God because we begin to honor God? And as Joshua wrote, walk in the obedience that God intends for us to walk in. God needs us to be obedient to His word. Amen. Y'all stand with me. Come on. As the band begins to sing, whatever you have need of, if you one that says, I want to make a difference, I want to be a person that reaches one, find you a place to pray if it's where you are, if you want to come down front. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, I welcome you to come down here. I want to pray with you because I know the awesomeness that God has in your life. You are not defeated. I don't care what you've been through. If you need Jesus as your Savior, come on. Come on. All over this building.